Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasella here, SafeguardYourSoul.com. I want to talk a little bit about church membership and the correlation between church membership and money, the connection, the control, and the con men who operate in the modern church world, beguiling unstable souls, people who are not yet grounded in the Word of God and in their individual priesthood with Christ. This was never what we see the apostles doing, and it was definitely what we see them exposing. I want to draw your attention to the first two chapters of the book of Colossians. What a paramount, absolutely glorious book, the book of Colossians, just four chapters long. On SafeguardYourSoul.com, we have a Colossians category. I want to call your attention to that. I encourage you to read those first two chapters in particular over and over and over, praying that God will open the eyes of your understanding and give you a revelation of Jesus Christ and His plan for His New Testament church, which He purchased with His own blood. And He alone deserves the rightful place of being upheld as the only head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that is Christ, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That's what the local churches have done today. The apostate local church world and business system, if you will. And if you don't think it's a business, my friend, you are misled. And it may be innocently, but I encourage you to pray and examine this against Scripture. Christ is to have the preeminence in the individual members of His blood-bought body. He's the only one who died on the cross, was buried, and raised again from the dead. He's the only nail-scarred, risen Savior. He is the only Creator, and by reason of that creation, He owns every soul, and namely, in His family, those that He has brought to Himself, who He has blessed to repent and believe on Him, and they are not to be corralled and intercepted. That is, the affections of the heart are never to be intercepted by leaders. You see, in my estimation, and you can weigh this for yourself, so many pastors today have taken far too large a role in the lives of God's people, instead of simply being quote-unquote overseers, 1 Peter 5, and guiding and helping the saints of Christ to grow in His grace. Many of them have become Nicolaitan overlords. In other words, instead of being overseers, to be the wind underneath the wings of
the body of Christ,
privileged to guide and help to grow in Christ, they have become overlords. They have become overbearing. And they learned this through this church system, whether or not they ever went to seminary or not even important. You see, they get tied in as young men who feel a calling on their lives with these church organizations. And then they naively, gullibly just buy everything this organization is selling instead of maintaining their own independence. dependence in Christ and discerning all things by the Word and the Holy Ghost. So they're not being led by the Spirit. They've somewhere along the line left off to truly hold the Scriptures as final authority and came under a deceiving spirit, even the devil, who has doctrines of devils, including this Nicolaitane, these deeds and doctrine, the doctrine of a Nicolaitane. Nico means conquer, to conquer, and Laitanes, we get the word laity, is the people. So Jesus said he hated the deeds and the doctrines of Nicolaitanes, those who control the people.
In order to manipulate them for their own greedy, self-serving purposes.
That's what we're talking about here on this message, Nicolaitane nightmare. And it is. And to the Nicolaitane leaders, which is
probably a majority of
the leaders today, if not all of them in the modern church in one way or the other, this message is a nightmare because this will set people free. The truth makes people free.
When they hear it and obey it, John 8:31-32,
you see, these deceiving wolves, they rule with force and with cruelty, Ezekiel 34:4. With force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, as Ezekiel cites the false leaders of his day. And
this is an age-old sin problem in the fallen human race, where people in leadership begin to use, and they develop devices and tools to use to manipulate to people and control them, extort them, make merchandise of them for their own self-serving purposes.
Many times it's not an overt control and a cruelty, which would be far too obvious. Satan is more subtle than that. It comes in the form of things like church membership. That is where the claws, if you will, of the roaring lion, who is Satan, that we are warned to beware of. In fact, 1 Peter 5, isn't it interesting that this verse, have you ever thought about that, appears right after Peter, an elder among the body of Christ, gives instructions to the true overseers, and he says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice here, and by no accident, but by divine design, we're warned about this devil, quote, the devil, who as a roaring lion, amen, we know who the lion of the tribe of Judah is, but Satan as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the way he's able to do that through leadership is, if you read the ensuing verses here in 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll see that there's a warning against being coercive and exercising or walking in filthy lucre. And then he says in verse 3, neither as being lords, overlords, over God's heritage. Amen. Every individual believer is God's heritage by the precious blood of Jesus. And that's never to be tampered with in any way by any man. And when you do that, you're operating in witchcraft. You are a Nicolaitane. You're seeking to control or conquer someone who is bought by the blood of Jesus, and you are under the judgment of God. And if you die in that condition, you're as sure for hell as if you were already there. I don't care what else you have. You are an absolute rebel, and it's time to repent. You are to be, here says here, an example to the flock in the revelation of the judgment of the great chief shepherd who's going to appear. And you're only going to receive a crown of glory if you're walking in his way and no other way. I mean, let's not deceive ourselves, beloved saints. Think about the local church system. We've all been in and out of that, all right? Some of you are still in it. To some degree, there may be some of this in that local church you're in. I would surmise that there probably is. But may God open your eyes and give you his discernment according to his scripture. Amen. Weighing everything in the balance of holy scripture, just like the Berean believers did, who were called more noble by God because they took Paul to task and they search the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. And that's what I encourage you to do. Search the scriptures yourself. Seek God in prayer. Don't listen to me. Listen to God's word. And just like the Bereans didn't take Paul at his word, they took God at his words. And they say what the Apostle Paul later wrote, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3, verse 4. So I want to encourage you not to be gullible and not to be unscriptural or naive. Let's don't deceive ourselves, saints. Think about it. Obtaining new members, that's always the push in the local churches. That right there should be a major red flag. There's nowhere in the New Testament we see this practice. Nowhere. You can find scripture and extrapolate anything you want. But I ask you one question. Where do we see Paul, Peter, John, or anyone in the New Testament scriptures, the 27 books, getting people to sign up to be a member, to sign up for membership in a local church or a local church organization? Nowhere. So when they come up with scripture to try to prove this, they're beguiling further and try to hide behind scripture that they have extrapolated and made to say one thing, but the practice is never seen among the apostles. We've got a new category, by the way, saints. It's called Church Membership Exposed. Look at the drop-down menu on the website or do a search, Church Membership Exposed, and got some posts on this topic, which I believe are not only explosive, they're extremely important. And I can tell you, most pastors don't want you reading this category. I can tell you that right now. Because it is going to shine light on the darkness of their greedy deed. They're not men of the cross, of the crucified life. They're greedy. Their God is their belly. And that's why, like Paul said in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, and that's why they perpetrate things like church membership and new members classes as part of their church business system in order to corral and to control and to con the members. And most diabolically, what they're doing, they intercept the reasoning, the resources, and the rightful place of each believer with Christ, who is the only head of the body. Colossians 1, 18 and 19. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. I began to read this earlier. After speaking about Jesus Christ, who is the invisible God, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, verse 15, for by him were all things, by Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. He's preeminent, and by him all things consist, or they're held together. Not only did he create all things are held together by the word of his power, scripture says. Notice verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Christ, might have preeminence. But these churches have become idols, and the church organizations and the church leaders have become the idols. And we're not walking out of those gatherings zinging with more love for Jesus, the power of his spirit, the presence, the glory of God overflowing from our lives. Why do you think that's the case? How did the church fellowships that God designed for the members of his body, universal, when they come together to worship him in spirit and in truth, how did they become so polluted? Why is the fruit of these gatherings not producing disciples? Well, because they've intercepted the headship, the preeminence of Christ over the saints. Notice this, Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Christ is your reward. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. And watch this, not holding the head, capital H-E-A-D, not upholding Christ. They uphold their own position, their own calling, the place of their so-called church, their church, or everything but Christ is upheld in reality. Oh, they'll give lip service, but really most of it's about the money, being faithful to be a member. See, they're not preaching Christ, but they're going to preach church membership every time you go in there. We want to invite you to take out the card we handed you when you walked in the door. You ever heard that? And notice right here, and they start directing you to church memberships, classes for new members and to become a member. But they're not preaching Christ. When is the last time you heard a message on the prophecies of the Old Testament and how Christ was the fulfillment of them? When's the last time you heard a message on the deity of Jesus Christ and how, as we just read in Colossians 1, that he created and sustains all things? I'm just giving you an example. When is the last time you heard a message on the blood of Jesus and the return of Christ and to be ready for it and the judgment of God upon everyone who dies in sin? When? But then again, every time you go in there, they're going to talk about church membership. Why? They're corralling. They're trying to con you. That's the first place that the claws of this roaring lion begin to set in. Interesting. Notice verse 19, and we're going to get to more of that in a minute. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. I love that last term, that little phrase. Here in Colossians 2:19, the increase of God. And if you pour prayerfully over this passage and this verse in particular, you will begin to see that when the head is not upheld, Christ, the virtue of heaven is not flowing into the body through each joint, each band, each member. Therefore, the body isn't receiving the divine nourishment ministered to it as we become knit together more and more with Christ and one another. And we're not increasing with the increase of God. You shall know them by their fruit. Let me ask you something. Just as a litmus test, are you a member in good standing or a member of any kind of a local church? When's the last time the power of God was working in your daily life in such a way that you were ministering and on a consistent, momentous basis? When is the last time you led somebody to Jesus? Now, I'm not trying to condemn you. If you're a born-again, blood-bought member of the body of Christ, I'm trying to encourage you to perhaps pray about and discern the situation. What is it that's hindering this? You see, in the book of Acts, I can tell you who's hindering it. It's the beguiling Nicolaitan wolves who are overlords of the church system, the apostate modern church that, man, you're crazy, brother. You are. How dare you? Well, call me that crazy person. Won't be the first time somebody's done that or the last, and I will rejoice in that persecution. Notice that in Acts 17:6, the body of Christ and the apostles had turned the world upside down because of the power of God in their lives. They weren't operating like we see these local churches and their leadership and organizations operate. No, they didn't have church buildings. Jesus didn't have one. Paul didn't have one. Peter didn't have one. John didn't have one. They were free as kingdom disciples by the blood of a lamb to be moved about by God in fellowship and in ministry as God ordains, as the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, would direct them. But some of us are so sewn into this local body, and we've heard, bloom where you planted. Well, that's true, but not in their sense. They teach you that because they want you to bloom while you're planted there, serving their cause, serving their agenda, and as they siphon up your resources. They know if they got you faithful there that the money's going to come after. See, that's where the tentacles begin to set in, right there, with church membership. If you're a church member, I encourage you to denounce it. Get rid of it. You're a member of the body of Christ. Why would you insult God by saying you needed any other membership than that which was given to you when Christ died on the cross to purchase you? Recently, I had to depart from a local church because of church membership, the false teaching of dispensationalism, and once saved, always saved. Not one of these guys I was supposedly becoming pretty close with in fellowship, you know, they all, you know, abandoned me because I'm the bad guy. Doesn't that seem a little cultic to you? It does to me. Something's wrong. You see, when you're a church member of a local church, that automatically, the spirit that comes with that, and it's not the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you start to be sectarian, incestuous, interbreeding, if you will. You see, the corruption of all that, instead of being an open-hearted, open-minded child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is open and loving to every believer, not just the ones that gathered with you in some building under the banner and auspices of some church organization, but every blood-bought believer is important to you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have loved one to another. That's the whole of the body of Christ, every individual member. Notice in Acts 6:4, as we go back to talking about the fruit, and many of you have come out from among this apostate modern church world, which falsely professes to be the representation of Christ, while it subverts his truth and sins against his grace. Notice it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It's actually Acts 8:4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That was all the believers. When persecution hit Jerusalem, the believers went forth preaching the word. They were scattered abroad. Notice they didn't need some overlord calling himself a pastor who was supposed to be the wind underneath the wings. No, they didn't need him. They didn't need his building, his organization, because they've got, God forbid, the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who bought them with his blood. They were full of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost had previously happened, and they had the power of God on their lives. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after, not before, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Oh, but wait. That has to be under the auspices of a local pastor. No, it doesn't. That's complete overreach and manipulation of the scriptures by these Nicolaitans. They use scripture out of context, and they don't merit being submitted to in the way scripture prescribes and gives details of. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Notice, these are men of the word of God, not those who manipulate deceitfully the word of God, whose faith follow. They're to be examples to you, not overlords. That's way overreaching. And out of the context of how the Bible describes elders in the body of Christ, they're not there to beat you down or rule over your life. They're there to help, to feed, to equip you, and to rebuke and admonish you when you need it, to walk with you through maybe times you've fallen or somebody passed away in your home or something you're going through. They're be the wind underneath your wings for the most part, seems like to me. Verse 17, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So they're to watch for your souls. Most of these guys that call themselves pastors today in the modern church world, they're collecting your money, but they're not really watching for your souls. They're not fervently praying over you and being in fellowship with you in a real life way to make sure as much as they can. I don't see that. I don't see them doing that at all. Or should I say, for the most part. But yet they're quick to collect your money and your allegiance to their local church and local church organization. Let's talk about this church membership push. You know how they push you to become a member there. Some of them do it more subtle than others, but they got the whole thing wired. They've got the whole one-hour meeting on Sunday mornings at church, so-called services. I don't like that word. Bible doesn't use that word for the assembling of the saints, the gatherings. But they got it all programmed. You don't think that's an accident. You see, this is a system that's been along around for 2,000 years. Well, about 1,700, as we're going to get to in just a minute when we uncover the origins of church membership. Wow, this is explosive. Hold on just a second, though. The church membership push is the push perpetrated by greed-driven beguilers. Why are they doing this? What's the agenda? To corral, to unduly leverage themselves, to wield ungodly control over God's people and their resources. That is, their time and money. Their time, their attendance, and their money. And I would encourage you to beware, to run. The assembling of God's people is to be for the fellowshipping with God and with His people. people. They kept it real simple. Acts 2:42. It says they continued steadfastly in four simple things: the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. It was all about Jesus. I'm telling you, I've had some sweet fellowship with some precious saints. Just me and one other, or myself and a handful of others. That's how it was in the early church. Where the groups that gather are to be autonomous as far as the horizontal alignment. Anytime you get big organizations, and I believe God is against all that, or churches that grow to be big, all Satan has to do is turn that one leader that's overseeing that organization and that enterprise, business enterprise, in the wrong direction, which is most likely he's already turned in the wrong direction. Why he's building a big, you know, if you preach the original gospel, you're not going to get this huge, fast church growth. That's a huge red flag. All he's got to do is turn one person into darkness, and it comes down on all of them. That's why the seminarian system we know was never from God. He perverts the source and all of the rivulets, all of the rivers, all of the streams that come out of that source are perverted. Since the early church, the whole system of Antichrist, that is, beginning with the Catholic Church, we're going to uncover this in a second, has been intercepting the affections of the believers and has perpetrated by its priesthood of wolves an Antichrist system, anti meaning in place of Christ. See, they're intercepting the affections of the hearts of the people of God, which the Bible says we're to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Right there in that glorious book of Colossians. And we're to be looking for the soon return of Jesus, having our affections set on him. But when you're so engrossed in your little churchianity, your little church club and group, guess what? That's not where you're looking. You got your eyes on the things of the earth. That's a thing of the earth. Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above,
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Is your hope when God or Christianity or quote unquote church comes up, what does your mind go to?
We must ask ourselves what our true identity is. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Yet many today, when the subject of God comes up, they say things like,
oh, I go on Sunday. That's not right. See, you've been misled. You've been indoctrinated. You're part of churchianity right now. You're not a part of real living faith in the living God. If you were, your vision of Christ, of God, of the church would be greatly enlightened and expanded. You'd be thinking on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you have a biblical picture of that? Not because I'm saying it. It's in the Bible, the throne of grace, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Book of Hebrews. It says in verse 2, Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You can appear with him if your mind is set on him. Some people have wasted their whole Christian life bidding Godspeed to promoting, condoning a church business, an agenda. And the fruit of their life makes that obvious. They had never led anybody to Jesus. Tell me what that means. Certainly doesn't mean that the power of God is on their life. No, in most cases they've been lied to and told that they got the whole thing, the wholeness of the Holy Spirit, the moment they got saved. That's a lie. That is not New Testament at all. Look up Holy Spirit category on safeguardyoursoul.com. The apostles thought it so important that the believers were all full of the Holy Ghost, not just saved, but filled with the Spirit. For example, when the Samaritans had gotten saved, the apostles thought it so important that they be filled with the Spirit that they were dispatched from Jerusalem and went down and prayed for them that they might receive received the Holy Ghost. Notice that it already says they had received the Word of God. They were saved. You have the Holy Spirit if you've been saved, but you don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit unless you simply ask God for it. Some call it the second blessing. Again, Jesus told his own disciples that you would receive power after, not before, that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Acts 1:8, right here. Throughout the book of Acts, we see this. They laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Peter and John, that's the apostolic teaching. Jesus said he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said that, and with fire. Are you baptized with the Holy Ghost? Well, if you're born again, you're a candidate. You can be. Look up the Holy Spirit category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Hallelujah. So church membership, in my estimation, call me down if I'm wrong. You know my email address, info@safeguardyoursoul.com. We can talk on the phone. All right, church membership equals control. You see, those who perpetrate it want to control you. Why? So they can control your resources, your money, and make themselves feel better as their church enterprise business grows. You become one of their pawns. Satan has a much larger plan than just controlling your resources and your money, and that is to quench the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and your liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with any yoke of bondage. Notice right here as we close, church membership, the history of it. Listen to this. The history of church membership in Protestant and evangelical churches begins with the Catholic Church. Now let me say this. A lot of people take all their time studying church history and the reformers. Why did anything need to be reformed? The Word of God has always been perfect. So why do you reform something?
No need to. We just need to get back to the Word of God.
So anyway, they waste their time studying church history instead of just studying the scriptures, which are the final authority, and to study the men of God that he authenticated specifically to represent the New Testament, to preach the apostles' doctrine, which was Christ's doctrine, where the apostles preached. It's all on record in the 27 books of the New Testament. By the way, if it's in the 27 books, it applies to us. Anyway, I believe it's a huge waste of time to think that you got to study church history. One of the things, the many things that they didn't get right, Martin Luther had a few things right. He had a lot of things that were wrong. And that goes for all of these so-called reformers that people basically make a pope out of in the Protestant movement, and they aggrandize them.
As if they're on the same level of authority as Holy Scripture, which they definitely are not, because nothing is.
What a ridiculous error that is. So the history of church membership in the Protestant and evangelical churches begins with the Catholic Church, which implements its discipline.
And I definitely, as many of you also, understand this, being that I was born and raised in the Catholic Church.
Went to Catholic school, altar boy, all of this garbage. But the Catholic Church instituted church membership, not the apostles, but the phony Roman Catholic Church, the cult of Catholicism. And these clowns that operate their church enterprises and businesses as overlords in these local church houses, if you will, in the modern church system, they're following Rome. Make no mistake. See, Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, implements its discipline over all the baptized or christened, water-sprinkled members through a tradition-based sacramental system governing the lives of their captors from cradle to grave. You see, the initiation into the Catholic Church cult is at 8 days old when a child is sprinkled with water. That's basically putting a curse on the child. Comes from ancient paganism, has nothing to do with New Testament truth. First of all, there's no sprinkling in the New Testament. Second of all, it's a mockery of water baptism. Water baptism, it means baptism, baptizo means immersion, and it depicts that you're dead and buried with Christ, and you're going to be raised up by Christ in your new life with Christ after being born again, regenerated, the miracle of regeneration that God alone can do. An 8-day-old child cannot possibly make a decision to follow or reject Christ. just to begin with. Essentially, in this way, the Roman Catholic Church corrals and coerces the insistence of membership upon every initiated, water-sprinkled, if you will, christened Catholic child. Without that cult initiation rite, that membership to the Roman religion, that person is considered outside of salvation, outside of the one true church, as they call it. Through church membership in the Catholic Church, the completely unbiblical sacramental system is enforced. Now, we don't have time to go into all that, but there is a category on Catholicism and ecumenism, and its tentacles reach into the Protestant and evangelical churches, as we're seeing right here, because they're the ones that started church memberships. The apostles didn't practice it. Jesus didn't practice it. He said, follow me. Don't follow a church. Follow Christ. Don't get indoctrinated and come under somebody's banner and spiritual headship. You're under Christ's headship. Some of you need to stop and denounce all this stuff. Get before God and say, I denounce membership to that church organization. I don't care if you think it's a good one. You need to announce that you're under Christ's headship. Number one, this idea that you got to go somewhere on Sunday morning and be plugged in to be a real Christian disciple is not true. The Bible speaks of the importance of fellowship. Who needs Sunday morning to fellowship? The early church met house to house daily. And these people get all impressed with themselves because they go to church once or twice a week. They go to church. We are the church. How can you go to church? You are the church. You are the body of Christ, the called out people of God. 24/7, you have the opportunity and the privilege to worship and praise and rejoice in Christ, your Savior, your only head, head of the body, if you will. We need to be established, saints, in the individual priesthood of the believer, which was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And beware of coming under this false covering doctrine under these Nicolaitane devils. Many of them are very subtle. That's the most insidious kind. Let me just say it right out. If they're pushing church membership, that's wolf material right there. And it started with the Catholic Church. The Catholic sacramental system is the creation, the strategy of devils, designed to strengthen the piety of the Catholic faithful throughout their lives, guiding them safely into the bowels of eternal damnation, in that darkness and under that darkness, that dark cloud of church membership. Jesus died and rose again that he alone might have preeminence over his true body worldwide in every individual member. Church membership to a local church or church organization is perpetrated by crossless wolves and is a direct affront to the headship of the one nail-scarred risen Savior. Again, saints, please read Colossians 1 and 2 closely. God bless you. And please compare everything said to the Word of the Living God in the King James Bible.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.